And joining me in the KRVS studios are Katie Slattery and Sarah Gauthier, both with the theater group The Riveters, here to talk about their upcoming production of The Blonde, The Brunette, and The Vengeful Redhead. Why do they do that with redheads? Why is it they always have some descriptive term that is not flattering? Anyone want to take a stab at that one?
As there are two brunettes sitting in here. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's like a natural feistiness, I think, that is like an eight usually. Well, at least in most of the redheads I know. I'm sorry if I'm speaking ill about anyone listening. But actually, I think when you watch the show, things aren't as they seem.
Okay. Yeah, some redheads, I think, are fiery and feisty, and I don't think that's a bad thing.
Okay. Well, we'll let the title slide then there. It's a play by Robert Hewitt, and it is a one-woman murder mystery play. You're going to be doing it for one weekend only. It's going to be opening this week on Thursday, and it will be at Theater 810.
Yes.
So how did you come across this play? Katie, you're the director. Did you discover it?
Well, about 6 years ago, my grandmother actually saw this play produced in Dallas, and she called me that night and she said, Katie, you have got to look at this play. And this is back when I was acting and not directing. She said, Katie, you'd be so good in this play. You have to read it. It's a one-woman show, and going on and on about it. So I found it online and I ordered it, and it had been in the back of my head for so long, and I wanted to do a show this summer that had a small cast, and I said, oh, I have this one-woman play on my shelf. And so I picked it up and read it, and I gave it to Sarah, and I said, hey, you want to do this?
Yes. And at the first read, I was really just reading it as like a friend, like, hey, read this and tell me what you think about this play. And I read it, I'm like, oh, this is kind of great. And because we both teach together, so I'm like, oh, well, we'll have this summer off. We can rehearse then. And so it all just kind of made sense.
Well, you have the summer off from your classes, but but the two of you came in here with your children today.
Right.
So. And that has been one of the best parts about working with Sarah is we both have children, so we're able to work the rehearsal schedule. It's much different than a typical rehearsal. Right. We've been able to rehearse at each other's houses and have our children, and my children are a little bit older, so they help with hers, who's
mm-hmm.
younger.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I love the way you describe your theater troupe, that it's a group of uncommon men and women working common jobs. And that's a really nice way to put it, you know, because so often you get to this point in your life where you do have a job and it's harder to explore those passions you have. And that seems to be a part of why you all started that group, The Riveters.
It's true. We just come together and work on our art, and we're very accepting of each other's lives and come together and do it.
And because it's such a large group, you have some people that come in and they may have acted in the previous show, but then you need help backstage in this show, and that person will come and help you backstage in the next show. And so everyone is familiar enough with theater and loves it enough to be able to work together.
Right. And it's been fascinating to see your progress because you have such a diverse group of people, first of all, in the Riveters. And there's really no some groups you can see a common thread in what they produce. But there's a real diversity in the plays that you all choose and present to the community. And I think a lot of people appreciate that.
Yeah, it's true. We just find things that speak to us and are different for whatever reason. You know, a one-woman show, that's different. That's not been done recently, as far as I know, around here, and
right.
We enjoy it.
Well, just to remind our audience, tell us some of the plays that you all have put on in the past year or two.
We have done Wendy Wasserstein's Uncommon Women, and we've done Cheaters. My mind is drawing a blank at this moment. We helped produce Cabaret.
Right, exactly. So a real wide range there. There's no common thing linking all of them. Well, let's talk about this particular play. Obviously, it's struck the two of you. And tell us about being in a one-woman play. I'm sure there are challenges both in directing it and also in acting in it, because it's not just two or three characters in this play. How many characters?
Seven characters and eight. It's eight monologues, so I'm not on stage at one time portraying different. I exit and then come back and tell the next character's part, side of the story. And I think initially the burden is memorizing 80 pages of dialogue and not confusing it all in your brain. And then I don't I don't consider myself a character actor, so that was my next challenge of each one of them needs a different physicality. They need, you know, different, their vocal variety needs to be different than the previous character. And I'm playing everything from a 4.5-year-old boy to a man to an old woman. A Russian woman. So several, a variety of characters, which I think kind of makes it easy to make the characters different because they're already somewhat written that way.
Mm-hmm. So the character's not just the blonde, the brunette, and the vengeful redhead.
No. It's how I think they're probably the most prominent, and they're kind of who the story really revolves around. And then the rest of the characters are, it's basically showing how one incident is affecting so many people's lives in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, so tell us a bit about the story. I mean, just the title already gives us a sense that there's a mystery here and there could be a murder involved.
Yes. It's a story about one woman's emotional response to her husband being unfaithful. And she takes a very strong action. And the story is about how that particular action affected many people's lives, people that she didn't even know.
And also what, you know, even more you're realizing is, sorry, how the other people in the story, how their actions instigated this initial reaction. You know, you get one story and it's not all the facts. And then you get the next story and you fill in a few more facts. But then you start getting contradicting information, so you have to start to decide who you believe and who you don't believe. So it's constantly kind of like an aha moment or like a jaw-dropping moment, I feel, for the audience. At least that's how I felt when I first read it.
So there's not just one jaw-dropping moment. Everybody has their own.
No, each character, when they come on, I mean, you think you know the truth. And that's the question that you're constantly asking yourself, what is the truth? Because the next character comes on and you have to redefine what you already decided you believe.
So tell us, as a director, how do you – I mean, that kind of a play would be interesting and challenging even if you had all of those characters played by separate actors and actresses. But how do you go about directing one person to give that performance? I mean, obviously Sarah is very talented. But
it's definitely a challenge. And like Sarah said, I worked a lot with her on her physicality, the emotional state of each character, where they're at in their life prior to coming on stage. So we worked with her breath, her body movement, how she holds her shoulders and her head, how she moves, how she speaks. We worked a lot with her physical self and her emotional self. And of course, she's so talented that she came in with so much playroom that she had a lot already to go with. So it was very easy to kind of just give her, okay, hold your hand just slightly more like this when you do that. It was very specific and she took direction very well.
Well, and I like the word you use, play, because it sounds like this could be play for an actress, that in a way kind of like being in a candy shop. You know,
right.
It's like, look at all these different varieties. Look what I can choose from.
Absolutely. And like I was telling Katie, one of the characters, the brunette, she's very much a diva. Like a, what did someone say? I'm going to offend someone if I say this, but like a local town housewife. And I was like, I would never normally get cast in a role like this because I'm not an ingenue type. Like that's not my role. And so to be able to play such a variety of characters is something I would never get to do if I was just doing, you know, cast as one person in a show. So.
Right, because you probably wouldn't audition for a role like that.
Right.
But even if you did, you're saying that that's not something that is natural to you.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But she's probably one of my most favorite characters to play. She's a lot like Katie, so I pull from that.
Well, who'd have thought? And, you know, I guess that stretches you as an actress. Well, the director,
I take that as a compliment.
Katie Slattery.
Like people see the show and think for themselves.
That was kind of a jaw-dropping moment right there. Katie's jaw dropped.
Yes.
If you are just tuning in, my guests are with the theater troupe, The Riveters. Katie Slattery is directing The Blonde, The Brunette, and The Vengeful Redhead, and she is directing Sarah Goche in all of the roles, not just The Blonde, The Brunette, and The Redhead, all of the seven different characters that portray this story. And is there a lot of are there a lot of costumes involved, or what are your physical changes?
Yes, each character has a very unique costume. We had Gina Barone designing the costumes and the wigs as well. Each, of course, with the hair colors, you expect that there would be wigs. And we have how many wigs? Seven?
Yes. Seven wigs for the seven characters. There's eight monologues, but it's the same character that repeats at the end years later. And that's the other thing, is that this story doesn't, it's not just, it is about one event, but it spans about 9 years of time.
So not just different characters, but a chain, a significant change in time.
Sometimes when you meet someone you've heard about in several of the monologues, you'll meet them and it's like 5 years after the event. So you see like how that event has affected them even 5 years later. Or then you meet one character and then 5 years later you meet someone who is speaking about how that character you met already has turned out to be. So you kind of follow the travels of these people.
And do you appear as one character in different time periods?
No.
No, it's just speaking about them.
One character appears in separate time periods.
The redhead, who the story is basically about, she's the opening and the closing of the
Okay. So you have story. To be a younger redhead and then an older redhead as well.
Yes.
So do you change your character or your wig for that?
We adjust the wig, and then the costume is different because she is in a different environment, I will say.
Okay.
Yeah, and the costume changes have been a challenge, but we're working. We have a crew that's helping us, you know, work the costume changes to be as quick as possible.
Right, because it's one thing, I think, to just change clothes quickly. But when you have to change a wig and make sure it doesn't look like cockeyed on your head when you walk on stage. And then for those of you who don't know me, I have a whole lot of hair. So it's hiding all of this hair underneath these wigs, like a man wig, for instance.
So very creative costuming.
Yes.
And so do you actually walk off stage, or is there how do you do that?
I will allow that to be a surprise.
All right. Okay. Now, this is being produced in Theater 810, which is a really interesting space, very intimate space. How will the seats be set up for this play?
It'll be set up as a traditional play has been there, if you've been there before.
Mm-hmm. I've seen sometimes they're at the long end and sometimes spread out along the long wall.
Yeah, they're at the long end, so there's, I think, four rows,
not
just the two rows in the long side, because we've set up the space, because it is just one person, the space has been set up to accommodate.
So it's even more intense.
It is. It's a very intimate show, and you get these raw emotions right there.
Yeah.
In your face.
Very close. Right. Sorry if I spit on anyone.
Some kind of little guard there. Right. Now, the play, The Blonde, The Brunette, and The Vengeful Redhead, is by Robert Hewitt. Is this his first one-woman show, or what else has he done?
He's an Australian playwright, and it was very interesting reading this play initially because there's a lot of vernacular from Australia, but he specifies in the beginning that he allows the director to have artistic license to change, you know, some of the slang
and
on the Barbie, things like that. So he says, take it and make it applicable to your region.
Yes.
Change the names of stores, change the names of these slangs so that, because it's kind of like an every woman, he wants it to be anyone can relate to these.
It could happen in Lafayette, Louisiana.
It absolutely could.
Right. Or Melbourne, Australia, either place.
Absolutely.
So have you had fun doing that, changing the references?
We have. This was a fun process because, you know, we'd come across all these mates, you know. Mm-hmm. We're like, okay, well, when does he say buddy and when does he say man? And we tried all these different things. And, of course, with other more intense words, it was fun to figure out which which of these intensities would be most appropriate to the moment. And we felt like we had a part in the writing of the play in a small way.
Right. And there's still some things, like, I'm noticing, like, as I go through it, I'm like, wait a minute, that word, I know, I kind of know what it means, but it's not really, I don't know if everyone will know what
it
means.
Or we don't use it that way.
Right, here. We don't use it that way. So then you have to go like, okay, that's, and then we're, you know, on Wikipedia and dictionary.com trying to figure out if it is a slang word, like an Australian slang word, or if it's, you know, and what the translation is for that, which is rather difficult to thesaurus, a slang word. Yes. But we figured out.
So this is not a period set piece where we would want to say, oh, this is happening in Australia. This is something you want more universal. As you said, every woman,
exactly.
We want to think that this could happen anywhere.
And
here.
I think when you see the show, women especially, I think, can relate to the emotions that happen, you know, with an unfaithful spouse. You know, if you've experienced that, it's going to be very raw.
Well, and with all the different characters, too. I mean, the people you're describing, it sounds like many people could participate in the effects.
You feel everyone's side of the story going like, oh, I remember when I had to be that person and say this to this person.
And even as a child, you know, she plays a 4.5-year-old boy, and it brings about, you know, we look back on our childhood to something that was painful to us. And
right. Now, I did notice that it said for mature audiences, so you wouldn't want to bring a 4-year-old?
No, likely not. There is some intense language and some adult themes, and it's up to the parents to have that discretion. There's no nudity or anything like that, but it's definitely got some strong themes and language.
Okay. If you are tuning in again, my guests are with the Riveters, the theater troupe, the Riveters, Katie Slattery and Sarah Gauthier. Katie is directing The Blonde, the Brunette, and The Vengeful Redhead by Robert Hewitt, and Sarah Gauthier is all three of those and more in this play. It will open this Thursday and run through Saturday, I believe. What times will the play be?
On Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, it'll be at 7:30 p.m., and on Saturday, we also have a 3 o'clock matinee.
So you have 4 opportunities to see the play.
Yes, and tickets are $10, but if you wear a wig, you get $1 off at the door only.
Right, but you have to prove it's a wig.
Right.
Like someone gets to pull your hair.
Right.
I'm sure they'll figure out a way to do that. So that would be a little harder, I guess, if you're purchasing online. How do you?
Yeah, if you purchase your tickets online, you don't get that discount.
Okay, maybe they'll.
I mean, you can still wear a wig for the purposes of fun.
Have solidarity with Sarah.
All right. It is a good idea to reserve tickets ahead of time, as always, because there are it's intimate. How many seats are available for each performance?
It seats 50 people, so you definitely want to reserve your ticket in advance, and you can call Theater 810 to do that.
Or is there an Eventbrite site as
there
well?
There is. You can do Eventbrite as well.
And what is it? Just the blonde?
It's blonde, brunette, redhead, .eventbrite.
All right. So either call Theater 810. Is there a Facebook page for this particular production?
There is. Mm-hmm. It's under the Riveters on Facebook.
Okay. So you can check out the Riveters, find out more about that organization, which is full of uncommon people who have common jobs.
Absolutely.
And are doing very uncommon theater. That's The Blonde, the Brunette, and the Vengeful Redhead, a one-woman show. Sarah Gauthier is the one woman, and Katie Slattery is directing the play. It's the Riveters Theater Troupe, and it will be at Theater 810 opening this Thursday. Thank you both.
Thank you very much.